Question. Are guardian angels appointed for countries and churches and communities? Answer. Yes. See Daniel chapter 10 and 11. Saint Denis, Saint Jerome, Saint Gregory, and Saint Augustine understand the prince of the Greeks, the Persians, and the Jews they are spoken of as the angel assigned to those countries. Saint Epiphanius says, kingdoms and nations are placed under the guardianship of angels. Saint Clement of Alexandria, the governancy of angels is distributed among cities and peoples. With regard to churches, communities, persons in dignity, monasteries, it is believed that all these have a special angel. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, Saint Michael is called the prince of the synagogue. In the office of Saint Michael, the church calls him the patron and guardian of the Christian world. All the great doctors of the church, Jerome, Isidore, Hilary, favor the opinion that each church has its guardian angel, and it is probable that communities, monasteries, parishes, solidarities, colleges have each their guardian angel. In the case of persons holding offices of dignity, such as popes, prelates, rulers, it is even believed that they have two, one by reason of their office, and one because of their own person, inasmuch as they need a twofold wisdom and guidance. Question. Have immaterial things a guardian angel? Answer. The common opinion says yes. In the Apocalypse, chapter 14, verse 18, and chapter 16, verse 5, we read, "And another angel went out from the altar, who had power over fire. And I heard the angel of the waters saying," again, chapter 7, verse 1, "I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, and he cried to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea." Saint Gregory says, "Nothing in this visible world is disposed but by the agency of invisible creatures." Saint Thomas says, "All corporal substances are ruled by angels, and this is the belief not of Christians divines alone, but even of pagan philosophers. It is supposed that it is not to each individual thing, but only to the different species of material nature that angels are assigned." Question. What are the duties and acts of the angel guardian? Answer. So far as they relate to persons, the six following are the principal. 1. The angel guardian defends the person from evil and obtains and promotes the good both of body and soul. This is their direct and immediate duty, and this they perform either by removing from our way and all unknown to us things hurtful and injurious, or by putting into our mind the thought of going where we would avoid harm and meet with good. 2. They oppose the wiles of the demons, and when the temptations of the infernal spirit would be dangerous, or when his destructive wrath might be enkindled and threatening, then they interfere by imposing good inspirations to the suggestions of the evil one, and by calling, as it is believed, on the aid of the choir of angels called powers, when physical danger is threatened from hell below. 3. They offer up to Almighty God all our prayers. In the book of Tobias we read, "I offered your prayer to the Lord," chapter 12, verse 12. In the Apocalypse it is written, "There were given to the angel much incense, and the smoke of the incense ascended from the prayers of the saints, by the hand of the angel before God," chapter 7, verse 3. And Saint Augustine says, "The angels bear our sighs and groans before thy throne, O Lord, that we might more surely obtain the clemency of thy forgiveness, and may be bedewed with the benedictions of thy grace." 4. Our angel guardian intercedes for us with God, as all the fathers teach, with a personal and special interest beyond the intercession of the other angels. 5. From time to time, they are the ministers of God inflicting on us punishments because of our sins. Punishments for sin, it is to be remarked, may be either simply or purely penal, or they may be corrective or medicinal. When simply and purely punitive, they are ordinarily inflicted by the demon as God's minister. executioners generally are of the lowest rank, and so the fallen angels are fittingly selected as the agents of God's punitive decrees. Occasionally, however, the guardian angel is the minister, just as, on the other hand, though the ordinary agent of God's corrective punishments is the angel guardian, yet, as in the case of holy Job, the infernal spirit is the agent appointed by Almighty God. 6. The last hours of a man, his judgment and entrance into heaven, are the moments of the great and final duties of the guardian spirit. And if the soul be detained in purgatory, then the duty of the angel is to offer at the throne of God the charities performed on the earth for the good of that soul, and from time to time, according to God's desires, to visit and console it in the prison of fire. Our blessed Lord, in St. Luke chapter 16, verse 22, says, "And it happened that the beggar died, and he was taken by angels into Abraham's bosom." St. Ambrose says, "These holy spirits, that is, the angels of God, are the chariots of the saints. At the great accounting day, they will once more come with the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, and then they will testify before all mankind the good actions of the glorified, the evil actions of the damned, and thus will God's justice triumph when judged." St. Bonaventure says, "The great masters were accustomed to reckon 12 effects arising from this custody, and all these they found in the Scriptures. 1. To accuse of sin. The angel of the Lord ascended from Galgal to the place of weepers and said, 'I have brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you have not heard my voice.' Judges chapter 2, verse 1. 2. To absolve from the chains of sin. The angel stood, and the chains fell from his hands. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. That is, the angel disposes. 3. To remove obstacles in the way of doing good. This is signified in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12, where the angel struck the firstborn of Egypt. 4. To drive away demons, as we read in the last chapter of Tobias. 'The demon he drove away from my wife Sarah,' says Tobias of Raphael. 5. To teach. 'Now I have come to teach you, and that you might understand.' Daniel chapter 9, verse 22. 6. To reveal secrets. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. 'The three angels have spoken of the Trinity and unity, and continue. Can I conceal anything from Abraham?' 7. To console. Tobias chapter 5, verse 13. 'Be brave in mind, for soon you will be cured by God.' 8. To strengthen in the way of God. 3 Kings chapter 29, verse 7. 'Arise and eat, for a long way is before thee.' 9. To convey and bring back. Tobias chapter 5, verse 15. 'I will lead and restore him.' 10. To overthrow our enemies. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 36. 'And the angel of the Lord was going out, struck the Assyrians in their camp.' 11. To mitigate temptations to concupiscence. This is typified in Genesis chapter 32, where Jacob, after struggling with the angel, receives from his hands a benediction, and forthwith the sinew of his thigh becomes withered. 12. To pray for us, and to bear our prayers before God. In the last chapter of Tobias we read, 'When you were praying with tears, I was offering them.' These are the effects of the angel's custody, for all of which we ought to be grateful both to God and to his holy angels." Thus ends the quote of St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure asks two further questions: whether the angel's joy is increased when the guarded soul is saved, and whether there is grief or pain or loss when the soul is damned. He answers, "Essentially, there can be neither increase nor diminution of their joy in God the ever-blessed. Accidentally, however, not alone extensive, but even intensive, it is probable there may be increase. There is a joy wherein consists their substantial reward, a joy in some uncreated good, that is, their joy about God and in God. there is another joy in a created good, in themselves or others, that is, their accidental reward. Their substantial reward cannot be increased or lessened, since they have been confirmed in glory. But their accidental glory or joy, whether extensive regarding many, or intensive more copiously with regard to one, may be increased. It is probable, but from man's damnation the angels conceive no compassion or sorrow, nor do they incur any loss of glory.